Now, when it comes to relationships, conflict is inevitable, but it doesn't have to be emotionally distressing or toxic. Couples can disagree, and yes, they can even fight while still showing compassion and respect for each other. Clinical psychologist Dr. Tara Logan Buckley joins me now to discuss how to argue well. Tara, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
I think this is something that maybe a lot of people haven't even thought about yet. Like, you know, how do you argue well? Maybe you just shouldn't argue. But it is healthy to argue and disagree with your loved one, is it?
Absolutely. I think, you know, when you hear, I never argue with someone, arguing is actually really healthy because it actually shows that you still really care about that person, yeah. That you actually want to address an issue that's going on for either the two of you collectively or for you, for yourself or for your partner, without just pushing it under the rug. I think when we stop arguing, that really shows actually when the end of a relationship is near.
So my other half would always say, oh no, we never fight. And I'm like, we literally had a fight about what to have for dinner last night. But because they're not typically what he would see on the TV as like having a big fight, getting into, you know, slamming the doors and storming out of the place, he doesn't recognise it as a fight. But I'm like, no, we argue religiously.
So you made a really good point there. So what you're doing is you're having constructive conversations. And actually constructive conversations, technically, if you want to call them, are argumentative in a certain sense. But when we think of arguments, we actually think about aggression.
Okay.
And that's the difference. So people who aren't good with dealing with anger and their flight and flight response gets activated, they'll maybe move into aggression. Whereas for other people, they will say, okay, how can we resolve this? Because that's what it is. It's how do we get to a compromise and how do we resolve this issue? But what happens is for other people, we don't use any kind of coercion and we don't do anything negative. And that's the difference. So people don't see them as arguments because actually they're really good at effective communication and constructive communication. Whereas other people, their arguments, because it's aggression that comes out.
So let's talk about that, about the aggression, because that does damage. But people who shut down or refuse to acknowledge issues, that can be quite toxic as well.
Absolutely. So if we think about all the things you've just labelled there, they're all different reactions to fight or flight. So when a threat comes to us, whether that's real or perceived, we act on it straight away. Mm-hmm. And some of us will move into the fight. So that's the real aggressive. It's the shouting. It's the roaring. I want this person to get away from me. You're causing me pain. For someone else, their response might be actually, I'm going to shut down. I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to stay quiet. Now, all these can be learned responses either from how you were brought up in your household, or maybe actually if you have been and maybe abusive relationship in the past and your voice wasn't heard and name calling and you were put down and berated, you learned actually the only way to keep myself safe is to actually to shut down and to say nothing as well. They're all learned responses. They're all maladaptive in a certain sense because we can't use them in all situations. However, they've gotten us to where we are. So we also have to see there has to be, I suppose, there is a positive to them in some light, but they don't work to keep a healthy relationship.
Let's point out the obvious, right? Aggression in any like relationship and in any fight, it is a problem.
Yeah, absolutely. If we think about like the impact that aggression will have, and that can either be verbal aggression or it can be physical aggression. That doesn't have to be physical towards the person. It can be slamming your fist down. It can be slamming a door. It can be walking out. It can be screaming as well. They all have really negative impacts. Some of the stuff that's going to happen is, first of all, is you're not going to trust the person. There's going to be that break of security. And if we think about it, that's physical safety, plus it's also emotional safety. And if we don't feel emotionally safe with our partner, we can't build communication. We can't build unity. It's going to destroy our own self-esteem and our self-worth, because actually what you're doing is you're blaming the person themselves. There is innately something wrong with me, instead of actually just pointing out the behaviour. It's like, well, no, there's something wrong with you. You know, if someone says like, oh, you're such a bad child for doing that, you're never meant to label a child as bad. You're meant to say, oh, you scribbled on the wall, that was not a great thing to do, or that was a bad thing to do, but never directed at the child. And if we think about aggression arguments, it's all about blame. It's all about projecting onto the other person that they're bad. And that just shatters people in so many different ways. And also it'll have a negative, I suppose, the negative swing is you're not going to get a resolution to the conflict.
Yeah.
Basically, it's not going to be solution focused. And what it's going to do is it's also going to build up resentment.
So let's talk about that. Let's talk about a resolution, because we don't want these types of scenarios in a relationship, but some of us aren't built, we don't know how to actually manage it. So how do we manage our frustrations so that we're not in this setting?
Of course, so there's a few different things that we can try. The very first one is basically it's going to be awareness of self. So the first thing is, do I have past emotional triggers? I might have learned a certain way of reacting from how my parents reacted. I might have been in a relationship that's going to make me react a certain way. So having the awareness, do I have emotional reactions, and if I do, what are they? And actually having an open and honest communication with your partner about what these are. And I'd prefer if we stayed away from maybe trigger words or trigger situations. Another thing that we need to do is active listening. So if we think about this, right, how often do we actually listen to someone to actually hear what they say? We don't. We're literally, particularly in argument, we're like, have they stopped? Oh yes, they've stopped, and I'm going to get out what I need to say. So actually slowing down and doing active listening. So what I always say, there's a lovely kind of effect called the mirroring effect that we can do with our partner, particularly if we're trying to come to a resolution. Allow your partner to speak for 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. Allow them say what they need to say, and you take a step back. And what you do then is afterwards, after the 2 minute goes, you paraphrase what they've said. This is going to do a few things. It's going to make them feel validated. It'll make them feel heard. It'll also make sure that you didn't actually pick up on anything that was a miscommunication. Because if you think about it, if we're in a hypervigilant state and we're hearing certain things and we're just going to reply, we're actually going to get mixed up in our communication. So practicing that is a really, really good one. Also, there's a lovely one called the Amigo dialogue.
I like that one.
Yeah, it's really, really nice. And what this is actually you step into your partner's shoes, you hear what they're trying to say, and you actually act as them and they act as you. And it's a really beautiful, powerful tool, because you take a step back and actually all of a sudden you've empathy. Because remember, couples are a team. So if we think about actually we're a team and we need to problem solve as a team, it really changes how we think about arguments, because we actually want to do this in a kind of united way. Another one is knowing you can take a break away. So if you're in an argument with someone and it's getting a little bit heated and you notice, take a step back, say, actually, you know what, right now, if me and you keep this conversation going, I'm going to say something I'm going to regret, you're going to say something, we're not going to come to resolution, I'm going to go away, pop outside for a few minutes, actually need going to take the dog for a walk, whatever it is, and let's pick a time to come back and actually talk about these things. And also look at it from a solution focused perspective. So it's like, okay, what is the issue? Right. Let's brainstorm the issue. Even take out a pen and paper. What are all these different things that we can do? Where's our compromise? What sits best that actually, what's our shared value and our goals, and bring that into it as well. So they're just some small little tips and tricks, but it's also about like that mutual respect, set boundaries, no name calling, no low blows. If one of you becomes dysregulated, the other person will accept that and just take that time out as well.
Yeah, I know. But like, we've all been in fights where you've said stuff that you completely regret. And it is that scenario. If you're like, if I actually just took 5 seconds and didn't say it, we wouldn't be at this impasse, because that starts a completely different fight then as well. The leaving, actively leaving and saying, look, we're actually not getting anywhere with this, so let's take a break and circle back at like 6 o'clock this evening and getting a bit of fresh air for yourself. It can give you time to cool down. But like, let's be realistic. How on earth do you go about having these conversations with your partner by saying, I'm going to do the Amigo effect. We're going to try out this thing because, you know, where we're at right now. Because you can feel a little bit embarrassed bringing it back up and bringing up conflict all the time.
You can. And I suppose the way, what I would say there is awareness is key. That's your very first point. So if you are aware, okay, in our arguments, both of us have a tendency to not walk away. And what happens is you say this hurts. I bring up numerous things from the past and we don't ever come to anything and we go to bed and in a bad state, and we're actually not happy when we go to sleep. So it can be sitting down and having an open conversation, simply saying, okay, actually, I've taken a step back. I've reflected on our patterns and my own patterns of reacting in arguments. And I've noticed that I feel this and that I do these things when I'm heightened. How has it been for you? So opening up a place for reflection where there's no blame, there's no criticism. And it's really actually that using it from a personal growth perspective. And I think that's the biggest thing, is because when we go in, we have this straight away, we use you make me feel instead of actually
I feel
this argument has made me feel. So if we approach it not that we're going to talk about conflict all the time, actually, how can we self-grow as a couple? How can we make our team stronger? How can we be more united? Okay, we argue about certain things. And it might be like, let's say we do a typical argument of I'm not spending enough quality time together. Yeah. And this keeps coming up in arguments. Non-stop.
Sorry, I've been in this scenario before. No, but just to point out exactly how it feels sometimes, you bitch and moan about not spending enough quality time together, and then it's like, okay, fine, well, what do you want to do? And then that starts a whole other argument, and then it just snowballs, and then you don't know where you're going or what's going to happen.
Absolutely. So this is a classic example. So what you're doing there is you're switching into the solution focus. Okay, we're not spending quality time together. Okay, so we're going to go to the cinema every week, or we're going to do this. But that's not the actual root cause of the problem. And this is what happens, particularly when we keep bringing up continuous issues in relationships. We're not actually sitting down and going, because I can guarantee you the actual problem is not the quality, is not the actual time you spend together. It's either the quality. So for example, you might watch Netflix every evening together, but one of you might be doom scrolling, the other person might be replying to emails. So it's actually not accessing that lovely soothing system where you feel valued or cared for. Or another case could be actually that it comes from a place of neglect, that actually even when you do spend time together, you are being ignored. So normally when there's a reoccurrent issue that keeps coming up in arguments, it's because the root cause isn't addressed, and the root cause is typically deeper than what you actually think it is.
Yeah. How do we end an argument healthily? Like how do we say, okay, we're done with this now, we're putting it to bed?
Yeah. So a lovely way of ending it is to actually turn around and to end it on a positive.
Okay.
Okay. So it kind of, instead of using criticism or anything like that, that you actually tell each other what you're grateful for. So it might be like, actually, wow, you know, we actually learned today that the amigo effect worked for us, or the mirroring effect. Isn't that fantastic that we both really did that skill? And now let's go and do something nice for ourselves. So it might be, let's go watch that episode that we're watching. I'll make a hot chocolate or something. So how we
like a little treat.
Yeah, like a little treat, because you want to reward yourself as well for actually that personal growth and that reflection piece. So instead of just saying, right, that's the, because a lot of people go, right, that's it now, argument's done and it's cleared. And it's usually not for someone. There's usually something that's end. And also what happens is people don't really come together after arguments. So if you can do something that's self-soothing together, that might even be snuggling up on the couch, holding hands, going on a walk together, sharing something that is meaningful to the two of you, you're accessing that soothing connection. What will happen is then the argument will actually become a distant memory way quicker.
Yeah, because obviously if there's still something lingering and if you haven't let everything out, you are going to end up going, like, look at the time of year that we're in. Christmas parties are in full swing. You will end up going out having like a couple of drinks under the influence, and then it's all going to come straight back out again. Mm-hmm. But arguing under the influence, I'm assuming, is a massive no-no.
It's definitely a massive no-no. And what I would say is, for some people, depending on their past life experiences, they might be afraid to address conflict with their partner. They have maybe been in a relationship, or if they did that, a lot of name calling, there was shouting, there was maybe aggression. And what happens is they kind of get the Dutch courage under a few drinks.
Yeah.
That is not a great way of doing it. But what you could say to yourself is, actually, I noticed I need alcohol to be able to do this. Okay, so the first step is, how do I go about this? How can I make myself feel safe with my partner? And also go and get help if you need to go and speak to a psychologist or a counsellor to actually get yourself built up and to increase your self-esteem of being able to manage conflicts. But having arguments under the influence is not anywhere to go. So for everyone that's feeling anything over the festive season, yeah, I would say sit down and try to have just a really open and honest conversation with a lot of respect.
And obviously it goes without saying too that sometimes, no matter how respectful and how healthy these arguments are, that you aren't meant to be with that other person. So, you know, you might just have to part ways. But if you were parting ways because you're shouting and screaming and tearing, and but there's still something there, you might just have the wrong method, I suppose.
Yeah, that's it. The way I kind of say it is that actually, if we look at the correlation with happy couples, the biggest thing that they have in common is the way that they actually argue, believe it or not. That's one of the biggest things. And if we look at divorce rates, one of the biggest indicators is actually how they communicate. So if you can learn how to argue in a constructive way with compassion and kindness and respect, then you can make that relationship work. And as I say, if you are a couple, you're like, actually, there is something worth saving here. We love each other very much. However, our two communication styles are just completely opposite ends. Mm. Go and see a marriage counsellor together. Yeah. Go and work on that. Take your own space to see, okay, well, why is my behaviour this way when I get activated from a threat response? Why is my partner is this way? And actually, can we do these skills and set together? But never be afraid to get support, because some of these skills, you're trying to maybe change a lifetime of patterns or behaviours.
Yeah, that are learned down through generations a lot of times as
Absolutely.
Well, when you don't know any different.
Yeah.
Dr. Tara Logan-Buckley, clinical psychologist, thank you so much for coming into us today to teach us all how to have a healthy argument, which I think we learned loads from there. Thanks a million.
Great, thank you so much.
We'll be right back after these. 2FM.